Now, Purusha is conscious. Prakriti is unconscious. Is as much ultimate as Prakriti. Both are uncaused. Prakriti enters into action from an original state of equilibrium. State of equilibrium is reached when, although it is a single reality, it has three qualities. It has sattva, rajas and tamas. It is one but triple, you might say. The movement of action is opposed within itself by the tendency toward inaction, inertia. And both of them are opposed by a movement of harmony, of knowledge, of happiness. Sattva is harmony, knowledge, and happiness. These are the three fundamental characteristics of sattva. Wherever there is sattva, there is, when you say such and such individual sattva, what you mean is that this person has a natural tendency to learn to know. Secondly, a sattvic person is a harmonizer, does not like conflicts around, wants to bring about harmony. And by knowledge and by harmony, there is some kind of happiness, inward happiness, santosha, some contentment. This is opposed to rajasic. In rajasic, there is no tendency to learn to know. Rajas is prepared to fight and to conflict. Rajas has a fever in which pleasures and pains are both feverishly enjoyed. There is no movement toward any kind of equilibrium or rest. Equilibrium of the sattva or rest of inertia of the tamas. Rajas has a constant fever of movement. Tamas, on the other hand, has constant tendency to cling to ignorance. Just as sattva wants to move towards knowledge, tamas always wants to move towards ignorance. To move towards mechanical activities. And towards inertia, towards sleep, rest, idleness, sloth, all this is tamas. So according to Sankhya, Prakriti surprisingly is threefold. It does not explain how this threefold Prakriti happens to be there originally. From where has it come? According to Sankhya, it is original. There is no source of it. But how these three contradictory things are put together originally, there is no answer in the Sankhya. It simply says there is such a prakriti. And what is the proof of it? The proof of it is look. Look at the movement, any movement you analyze, and you will find these three tendencies there. And if you ask the question from where it has come, Sankhya says, I don't find from where, anywhere it has come. There is no, I don't see the origin of it anywhere. Therefore it is anadi. It is eternally there. It is like that. But how can these contradictory things be together originally? That is a mystery, and Sankhya has no answer to that question. Answer is what you call a scientific answer. A scientific answer to a question is, see what it is. Describe what it is. In as much as you can, and if you can't, simply that this is there. There is a Sankhya philosopher who also called great scientists about it. They are describing what is there in the world. And they found in this world huge ocean of action, surprisingly consisting of these three elements, which are warring with each other. Then it analyzed further this. Found that this energy, which is manifested into such a universe, if you analyze it, you find that all of them can be reduced to higher levels. You can distinctly distinguish between five elements in this world. There is first one physical element which we call earth. Physical, something solid, something that is tangible, something when you press it gives a reaction, something in which one place, another thing cannot be placed. Such is the principle of earth. You cannot put two pieces of matter at the same place. That is the simplest definition of matter, you might say. Matter is just stuff that space occupied by a piece of earth or matter cannot be occupied by another piece of matter. This is such an important principle. If it was not valid, then our driving and the cars would have been impossible. If two cars could move in the same space, then driving would be impossible. It is because where there is one car, the end and another car enter into that space that we can drive it. Such is the principle of matter, first of all. This is what we see in the world. The second is liquid. You can distinguish very clearly between that which is solid and that which is liquid. Although liquidity also is solidity, but it is not that kind of solidity you find in earth, in pure matter. So because we can distinguish between them very clearly, Sankhya says that apart from prithvi, there is jala, there is liquidity. Then there is a third element. Neither material, it is material, but it is not material like matter, it is not material like liquid, but it is something by which it is subtler than matter, and by which you can bring matters, your physical matters together, you can weld. Water cannot weld. Matter, two points. And if you want to weld one piece of iron with another piece of iron, then you need a third element, which is fire. Fire that you can, it is such a subtle thing. It can touch both the metals and can bring them together. And then there is even subtler than fire, and that is air. Fire is visible. They said water is visible, earth is visible. But there is another element which is invisible but which exists. You can prove it. You can experience it, even physically experience it. When there is a breeze, in a breezeless atmosphere, you can really experience it. When there is fire and there is a breeze on it, it extinguishes the fire. So it is even subtler than the fire. But there is even subtler than the air, subtler than Vayu. Vayu is also called Anita. Agni is also called Anita. So there is Prithvi, Jaga, Agni or Anala, and Vayu or Anila. Then there is Akash. Even subtler than air is what they call ether. Of course, the modern physics tells us that ether does not exist. But Sankhya affirms that there is subtler than air and there is ether. This is called Akasha. Not only that ether exists according to Sankhya, but it is the very basis of what we call hearing. Just as Prithvi is the basis of smell, similarly, ether is the basis of hearing. If ether did not exist, you would not hear. How is it distinguished between sound coming from this side? That side. By what quality? By what means? Not by means of earth or water or fire or by air. The directions are recognized by us by a subtler activity of us, and that is because of the our hearing. Seems to be determined by the presence of it. That was the discovery of the Sankhya thinkers. So they say that although Prakriti is one, it is triple, but produces five great elements in the world. And all of them are one because in all of them three gunas are present. And general nature of is present in the activity. All the Pancha Mahabhutas, as they are called, five elements, all the Pancha Mahabhutas are active in nature. All of them are riddled with the oppositions of sattvas and tamas. Therefore, it can be concluded that there is one Prakriti which is capable of triple force, and it is capable of producing five big elements.